podcast service of Quaker Gap Baptist Church in King, North Carolina, where our mission is to glorify God by growing Christ-like people.
Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14, that's on page 828 of your Pew Bible. And some of my words this morning will be directed at our graduates, but y'all can listen in if you want, because there might be something of value for you as well. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. So a lot of stuff going on in that passage of Scripture there. The Apostle Paul talks about something that is inevitable in your life. No matter how successful you are, no matter how loved you are, no matter how intelligent you are, no matter how faithful you are, no matter how adorable you are, you will face wind and waves. It's inevitable. There will always be waves in life. There will always be wind. There will always be cunning and crafty people who do not have your best interests in mind. There will always be wicked schemes designed to keep you from living the life that God wants you to live. There's always an enemy wanting to steal your joy. Well, what do those wind and waves look like in your life? Well, for those of you who are headed to college, it could be a roommate who doesn't have the same values as you. It could be a professor whose greatest purpose in life is to shake the faith of college freshmen, you know, to make you doubt the things that you were taught at home and at church. Not every professor's like that. It's a stereotype, but there are some that are like that. Or it could be the sudden freedom and the temptations that come along with that sudden freedom, that could be the wind and the waves. Something about being away from home and being outside that environment. I'm just warning you, it may look calm right now, but there will be wind and there will be waves. For those of you who are headed to the workplace, you've graduated now and you've got that piece of paper and you're going to start making some money, right? That's what it's all about. And that sounds like a good thing, right? Well, it depends on how you use it. Depends on how you use it. Many who have pure intentions, suddenly under the pressure of success, begin to fold. The wind and the waves could be challenging situations that you're going to face when you get to the workplace. The wind and the waves could be challenging people who make it their business to make your life miserable. They are in every workplace in America. Sometimes they're your boss. You know, those of you who are going to be a teacher, maybe it's the principal, maybe it's the superintendent, not in Stokes County, but elsewhere. It could be a problem in your life. Truth is, since you are graduating from college, and since you are moving on in the world, you've already braved some wind and waves. You've already seen that. You've had to weather some of that already. Life is filled, for all of us, with wind and waves. Crises and troubles and temptations. We wake up each morning wondering, what's it going to be today? Your faith will be tested. And if your faith is not strong, it may not survive. Jesus told this story. He said, these are foundational words, words to build a life on. If you work these words into your life, you are like a smart carpenter who built his house on solid rock. Rain poured down, the river flooded, a tornado hit, but nothing moved that house. It was fixed to the rock. But if you just use my words in Bible studies and don't work them into your life, you are like a stupid carpenter who built his house on the sandy beach. And when a storm rolled in and the waves came up, it collapsed like a house of cards. So as we celebrate your accomplishments this morning, I'm reminded of all the hard work that you have done to get to the place where you are. I'm also reminded of the great investment that other people made in your lives to get you to this place where you are. Your parents and your grandparents have prayed for you. They've brought you to church. They've told you about Jesus at your home, and they've modeled faith for you. They've lived out their faith in front of you. And many of the people in this church have poured their life and their time and their efforts into you, whether that's Sunday school teachers or children's church workers or youth pastors or volunteers, even your pastor. Our hope is that over your time with us here at Quaker Gap, we have provided you a foundation of teaching and truth and knowledge, a foundation, a rock that will give you strength to stand against the wind and the waves. But here's the truth. There comes a time, okay, when the training wheels come off and you have to ride your bike on your own, unfortunately. There comes a time when you step out into the real world without your mama and your Sunday school teacher, and you suddenly have to face hard questions and internal doubts on your own. How are you going to stand when the wind and the waves start battering against your faith? Because it's coming. It's coming. I've been a youth pastor for a number of years and a senior pastor for many more years, long enough to tell you that I have seen many whose faith has been shaken when the wind comes into their life. I've seen it over and over again. I've seen those who were they're strong in their faith as children, right? That they could tell you all about Jesus, and they could tell you all about their Sunday school lesson, and they loved Jesus as children. And then they become teenagers who fall apart in college. You wonder what happened to their faith. How did they lose their connection to the Lord? And then some of them just disappear from church. You don't see them anymore. I know for some of us it's because when you move to college, you move to the city, and then you're not at Quaker Gap anymore. But I'm talking about the church, not necessarily our church. It's easy to lose your connection. And then sometimes when I run into those folks, hey, how's life going? What's happening? They are uncomfortable to talk about it. I've seen some of those who fell away, however, return to the faith years later when they get married or when they have children. They decide suddenly, now I need to be connected to the church. Right? Now that I'm getting married, I need a pastor. Now that I'm having children, I need them to be raised in the church. And that's a good thing, I think, but they will be the first to tell you that they lost years of their lives, spiritually speaking, that they will never be able to get back. And so I want to encourage you, because there are those who will continue in their faith without a hiccup. Oh, they will face some wind and some waves and some difficulties, but they will be able to keep their faith in spite of the challenges that they will face. Now, how do they do it? How can you develop a faith that survives through all of the wind and the waves? Well, I'm glad you asked. Faith that survives the wind and the waves is, first of all, braced in the Bible. It's braced in the Bible. Look, the book of Matthew chapter 7, starting with verse 24, Jesus said, now in the New International Version, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. What is the rock? It's the words of the Lord that are put into practice. It's a knowledge of God's word and the willingness to put into practice so that it becomes the foundation on which your spiritual life is built. And even though you are a graduate and even though you know everything right now, there is a lifetime of learning that you will undergo. And you never outgrow the word of God. So make it your ambition to put what you have learned from the Word into practice every day. Do not forget to pack your Bible when you go to college, is what I'm saying. Bring a Bible to your new job with you so that you will have it there to read when you need it. Or at least have a reading plan that you follow on the Bible app on your phone. Have access to that. Try to think biblically about the things that you are learning in your classes. How does this relate to what God says? And to the extent that you read God's word, and to the extent that you know God's word, and to the extent that you practice God's word, you will stand strong in your faith against the wind and the waves of life. Also, faith that survives the wind and the waves is centered in Christ. It's centered in the person of Jesus Christ. The verse that we read earlier needs to be read perhaps in context. Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to start kind of mid-sentence in verse 13. Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. So what does a strong relationship with Jesus look like? Well, notice what it is that keeps you from being tossed back and forth by waves and wind, being blown back and forth in this life. It is the knowledge of the Son of God, it says. The knowledge of the Son of God, it is becoming mature, attaining to the measure of the fullness of Christ. It's becoming more and more like Jesus Christ. It's developing a relationship with Jesus Christ where you grow to be more and more like Him. And that will keep you from being blown by the winds and the waves. You must have a strong, growing, nurtured relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what does that look like? Well, what does a strong relationship with anybody look like? You know, a strong relationship with anybody. Think about the people that you have growing, strong relationships with in this world. Chances are that you are in constant contact with them. You're always texting them. You're always reaching out to them on social media. You've got constant conversation going with them. That these are the people in your life that when something exciting happens, you run to them. You let them know what's going on. When something frustrating happens, they're the first one that you tell. That is what a relationship looks like. They're the ones that you send embarrassingly silly pictures of yourself that you would want nobody else in the world to see, but you send it to them and they send you one back, and it's fun. When you get have opportunity in this life to do good, you want them to know about it and to be on board with you. They give you good advice, and you genuinely enjoy being around them. That's what a relationship looks like. Why shouldn't your relationship with Jesus look the same way? You know? You may not be able to text Jesus, but He's just a prayer away. That's even easier than texting. It doesn't involve your thumbs at all. You just pray. Why not open this constant thread of communication with the Lord, reading His Word, telling Him all of your needs, thanking Him for all the good things that come in your life? You know, something great happens, go to the Lord and tell Him, Lord, this is wonderful, thank you. If you have something frustrating and difficult happening in your world, spend time in prayer when life gets hard. Talk to Him. A relationship with Jesus is not difficult. It just takes effort on your part to deepen and to grow and to develop as you continue. Faith that survives the wind and the waves is braced in the Bible, it's centered in Christ, and it's chained to the church. Listen to that. The church needs to be a part of your life. Book of Ephesians, Paul writes, "So Christ Himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip His people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up." There's a purpose why God has given us the church and given us spiritual leaders. It's in order that we might be built up, that we need spiritual leaders in our lives. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day approaching. There's great value in being plugged into a church family. This is a group of people that is here to celebrate with you today. You know, there are a lot of young people who are graduating today, this time of year, that don't have a church to celebrate with. Right? They're going to have their graduation, and maybe there'll be some family members to celebrate, but they don't have this unique opportunity that you have this morning to come before a group of people that love you and support you and will pray for you. That is a wonderful thing that should be valued. We will be here to help you in your times of need, to pray with you when life gets hard, to give you advice when you enter a new stage of life that some of us have already weathered and been through. Think of the church as an anchor to which you are chained. The wind and the waves may come, but your faith will remain because you have this group of people who are cheering for you and discipling you and hoping to see great things from you. That's the church. So I just want to give you a little advice. It's important for those of you who are going off to college that you find the church wherever you go. Wherever you go, look for the church. As soon as you get on campus, look for Christian clubs and campus ministries, InterVarsity, Young Life, Crew, whatever name it might go by, the Baptist Student Union. Make sure that it's a group that loves the Word of God, is teaching the truth, and plug in. There will be brothers and sisters in Christ on that campus who are in the same boat as you, who are just starting out, who need someone to help them to grow in their faith. Get plugged into those groups. On Sunday mornings, you will be tempted to sleep in and to hang out in the cafeteria in your sweats and a t-shirt with a cup of coffee and a bagel. I understand that. It sounds wonderful, doesn't it? It sounds nice. But meanwhile, somewhere not far from you, there's a group of Christians meeting together and they are singing praises to the Lord and they're opening their Bibles and they're encouraging each other in the Lord. To me, that's much better than the bagel and the coffee and the extra little bit of sleep. Which of these activities do you think is necessary for a believer who wants to keep the faith in spite of wind and waves? So look for the church wherever you go. Anchor yourself to the church. And truth be told, campus ministries and churches are great places to make friends who share your values. And even in the case of one of my daughters, to find a future spouse who shares the same values with you. I know you're not thinking about that right now, but it may be the place where you find the right person for you. Faith that survives the wind and the waves is braced in the Bible, centered in Christ, chained to the church, and secured in your spirit. In the end, you are the one who makes these decisions. Nobody here can make these decisions for you. It's your turn. If your faith grows, it will be as a result of your good practices. It will be as a result of your daily routine. You will not be able to blame anyone else when the wind and the waves crash against you and it affects your faith. It's a day by day, moment by moment, choice by choice proposition. And you know, I don't know about you, but we always laugh about the freshman 15. You hear about the freshman 15? And we always laugh about that. Why is it that many college students gain weight in the first year of college? Think about that for a minute. Well, for one thing, your bodies are changing. I hate to say it, but you're getting a little bit older and your metabolism changes a little bit. That may be part of it. But the main thing is that you are now responsible for your eating practices, that you are in charge of that. Like when you're going to eat, what you're going to eat, how much of it you're going to eat. You are in charge of that. When you wake up, you are in charge of that. When you go to bed, you're in charge of that. Mom and dad aren't going to be grocery shopping and filling your cabinets with healthy choices. You won't be expected to go to bed at a reasonable hour and wake up early. Unless you are a college athlete, you're not going to have a coach that's going to be pushing you to do exercise and to run laps. You probably won't have PE classes. All these eating and exercising decisions will be yours. Day by day, moment by moment, choice by choice, your body will take a shape. Cafeteria plate by cafeteria plate, you will be fully responsible for your own physical health. The same is true of your spiritual health. I'm more concerned about that. Your spiritual stability is a direct result of your daily spiritual choices, and there is nobody else to blame for that. This is a personal choice. It's a personal thing, first of all. Your faith is your faith. This is important to understand. Some of you have been hitchhiking on your parents' faith up till now. They have been waking you up for church. My dad used to wake me up with a full breakfast early in order to get me to church. He knew that if he got me up in time to eat a full breakfast, we'd be in church. You know, I grew up in New Jersey. It wasn't biscuits at that point. It was bagels, but you understand. Woke me up for church, full breakfast, got me out the door on time every single Sunday. My first Sunday at college was the moment of truth because Dad was not there to wake me up with a full breakfast. I went to a Bible college, so I had a church requirement. So things were a little bit different for me. I had to go to church. You probably won't have that where you're going to college, but if you look around, you will see choices. There will be churches that will be meeting on campus. There will be vans from local churches that will be somewhere on the campus at a certain time to make pickups to take you to their church. Churches within walking distance. Where I went to college, there was a Baptist church that was just down the road. We used to call it Bedside Baptist, because you knew if you woke up late, you could always roll out into that church. It's very important. You're not hitchhiking on your parents' faith anymore. Now it's your faith. It has to be your responsibility. It has to be your choice. So when you return home from college for winter break, and you come and you sit in these pews again, and you're back, you know, you're proud, right? I'm a college student now, right? And you're here worshiping with us, and everybody's hugging you, and they're glad to see you. If I ask you, if you are involved in a campus ministry, or if I ask you, what church have you plugged into? What are you going to say? What are you going to say? But don't do it for me. Do it for your faith. Right? The church of the sausage biscuit will not help you through the wind and the waves of life. It never has. Your faith is personal, and it is also portable. What do I mean by a portable faith? I mean that your faith in the Lord goes with you wherever you go. That your faith in the Lord is something that is internal, your relationship with God, and faith shouldn't waver because you find yourself on a campus or in a new workplace, in a new situation. I deeply respect people who move to a new area and look for a church at the same time that they're looking for a home. There are folks like this that exist who say, while we look for a new home, let's see where the good churches are so that we can find a home that's not so far away from the church where we want to attend. It's sad when I meet someone who visits our church who says, you know, we lived here for 2 years now and we haven't been able to find a church. If I poke a little bit deeper into what they say, what they're really saying is, all right, we haven't really tried. We haven't really tried. Your faith needs to be portable. You bring it with you, and it remains strong every place you go. Whether it's boot camp or grad school or a new job or a foreign country, your faith is personal and portable. And in order for it to survive, finally, it needs to be passionate. Passionate. You need to be in love with God to such an extent that you could not imagine being apart from Him, no matter where you go. Your faith should matter to you just as much as any other area of your life. It's that important, if not more. If you're passionate about keeping your faith through all of the wind and the waves of life, you will survive. So I want you to make it your ambition to keep growing in your faith so that the next time, for some of you, that you wear a cap or gown, or a few years from now when you're getting promoted to an even better job, your faith will be stronger too, because that is just as important. So let me finish up with just an example of how important it is for you to have strong faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever been to a hotel where they say that they have free Wi-Fi, and when you get there, you see that their free Wi-Fi is basically one bar of uselessness? Been there? Yeah, some of you have been there. Free Wi-Fi, woohoo! As soon as you hook up, you're like, what? And it takes 10 minutes to load the Google homepage, you know? And you're like, what on earth is happening here? And the Wi-Fi is just about as useful as that coffee machine in the bathroom, right? I don't know whose idea that was. Might as well grab a cup of Joe while I'm doing my business. I don't know. But it could serve as a laxative. I don't know. I digress. The Wi-Fi is awful. It's awful. Now, does that mean that there's a problem with the internet? No. The internet's just as big and powerful and full of knowledge and entertainment and other stuff. There's all sorts of stuff. The internet is always there. It's all powerful internet. But if your connection to it is bad, it doesn't matter how much there is on the internet. You're not going to be able to enjoy it. You're not going to be able to tap into it. The problem is not the internet. The problem is your connection to the internet is slow and faulty and intermittent, and it's frustrating. Look, God never changes. He is always powerful. He is always beautiful. He is always loving. He is always holy. He is always present and there for you. He's always speaking truth. And He has made for all of us a way to get to know Him through His Son, Jesus Christ, and through His Word. What is required of us is faith. Our faith is the connection by which we pick up the tools available for us to experience God. Right? If our faith is weak or intermittent, we lose out on so much of who God is. God's not to blame. God's always the same. If your connection and your faith is weak, the problem's not with Him. The problem is with your faith. And so I want for you to have a wide bandwidth of faith. I want you to have a quick, snappy connection to the Lord. That no matter what the wind and waves of life do, or no matter what they bring, you will always have this unhindered, unobstructed connection to the power of the Almighty God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's my prayer for you, that your faith might increase so that come with what may in this life, you will be able to withstand the wind and the waves that are on the way. So let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you today for your presence in our service this morning and for the opportunity for us to spend a little bit of time in your word. And Father, it is so important that we have faith in you because we realize that that is our connection to you. And so I pray for my entire church family here, brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord, that though there are wind and waves in this world, and though there are forces and enemies that are working against us, Lord, that you have a plan for us that is beautiful. And if we will just trust in you, walk with you, nurture our relationship with you, spend time in your word and put it into practice, Lord, that our faith will grow and our connection to you will be strong for all eternity. And Father, I pray for these who are graduating, those who are graduating moving on to college, those who are graduating and moving into careers. Father, I pray for them that as they move on to their next step, that you will help them, Lord. Not just to do well in their career and to do well in school, but Lord, that their faith might grow, that they might make the transition that needs to be made to take their faith with them in the place where you are calling them next. We trust you and thank you, Lord, to go with them, to continue to speak to them. And Father, that by faith, that they would have the strength that it takes to carry on. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.